Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And we're now crossing to our guest, Dr. Liesel Groenewald, co-founding director, of the Whistleblower House and senior manager at the Ethics Institute. Doc, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Nicholas, for the nice introduction.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. I think one of the things that really stood out for me when I got the brief on our conversation today is I think whistleblowing, and I don't know if people realize that, but the role of a whistleblower is so essential and vital to, I think, to a functioning democracy where those who see wrong feel safe about coming forward. And yet we're seeing several cases in South Africa where whistleblowers and key witnesses have faced intimidation or violence. What is going on in South Africa with regards to whistleblowers? What are your concerns?
Yeah, it's not just in South Africa, I have to say. On global forums, we hear the same. There's always retaliation or victimization. But what is completely different is the whistleblowers aren't killed everywhere in the world. You know, it's the violence that we have in terms of retaliation in South Africa that is completely different to the rest of the world. And the concerns are, you know, whistleblowing is important. Imagine where South Africa would have been if we didn't have whistleblowers. State capture, we wouldn't have known about it. What we are seeing now with the Madlanga Commission, we wouldn't have known about it if we didn't have whistleblowers. But the circumstances are not making it easy for people to step forward. Okay? Luckily for us, as a country and as a society, we see that whistleblowers are people who are really, they really strong in their values. They embrace their values, those values that they have grown up with. But we can't, you know, expect people to step forward if they fear that they or their families might be hurt.
Absolutely.
Or killed,
unfortunately. I mean, how damaging, you mentioned the Madlanga Commission, pronunciation is always my favorite thing in the whole world with many words. And how damaging is it really to the willingness of ordinary South Africans to coming forward? They see wrong happening, but they know they're not going to be protected and be safe. What are we missing out on? What are we losing here as a society?
The truth about corruption, extent of corruption. I mean, now with the Madlanga Commission, we knew there was corruption, or, you know, in the police service, but not to the extent that it is now being exposed. And we also see in organizations that there are many people. We do surveys and things in organizations as the Ethics Institute, and what we see is many people observe misconduct, but only about 30% of those that observe it decide to actually blow the whistle. And what's the main reasons? There are three main reasons. Fear of losing their job, a fear for their security, and the belief that the organization will actually not do anything about it. So what we see now is very great in that the action is taken when we look at the Madlanga Commission. But when we look at state capture reports, what has happened there? Nothing, you know. But our whistleblowers and organizations and society need to understand that whistleblowers have an immense role to play in creating a better society in South Africa. And our organizations need to really understand that they must protect their whistleblowers. Our law is not worth the paper that it's written on. When you look at the Protected Disclosures Act, it only talks about occupational detriment, that you will be protected against that, but you will still lose your job, or you might still lose your job, etc. Then you have no money. Because you have no job. Then you have to go to court with what money? So, and that's where the Whistleblower House, for example, why we co-founded, Bianca Goodson and myself, we co-founded it in that it is an avenue for people who have blown the whistle and who have lost everything, that they can at least get pro bono legal advice to help them, you know, through these systems. But physical protection, we don't see that, and unfortunately, that is what we need in this this country.
What can be done to improve the situation, or sadly, are we too far down the track with regards to corruption and our culture?
I've spoken today a lot about culture, and the one thing about culture is that when certain things are not addressed, if people are not held accountable, it becomes part of the culture, the way we do things around here. Okay. A political will to do anything about the corruption, well, I don't see any of that. There's nice words and all of those lovely things, but it means nothing. We've seen that over the how many years. I think it is time for society and for our citizens to take a firm stance. We are far down the road, but I'm the forever optimist and believe that things can be changed. It can, little by little, each and every day. And it starts with and I feel sorry for traffic cops, but unfortunately they're an easy target, is that, you know, when they say they want a bribe, they want a Coca-Cola, to say no, don't do it. Because very often people say, oh, you know, but everyone is involved in corruption, but they forget it takes two to tango. And in corruption, there are two, you know?
I think we can start the fight against corruption effectively at home. Be willing to take the consequences. Be willing to understand that, okay, it's going to be challenging. But also then going into a system that is corrupt can also be quite intimidating. If we take a step back on that, and perhaps also from the Ethics Institute side, how do we start this at home? What do we tell our children? How do we educate our children and our families in terms of ethical conduct? As you said, it takes two to tango in a bribe, but also with the path of being a whistleblower.
It is about, okay, so at school, when you get home and you say, oh, my friends, or that one did this, and then your parents say, but don't be a tattletale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's there we go. It's the first point. So that needs to change. Because whistleblowers are referred to as tattletales or snitches or those kind of things. The other thing is we really need to inculcate values in our children, and for them to understand that there are consequences when you lie, when you cheat. And as a parent, we mustn't say that there's this joke that the child says, oh, dad or mum, I need stationery for school, and mum says, don't worry, I'll go to the office tomorrow and then I'll get some stationery there for you. Yeah. Okay, so we shouldn't do those things. It's about being the example to others. And it's where it starts there.
Leading basically through our actions. And I think particularly with kids, actions speak louder than words, right?
Absolutely.
What would you like to see happening within companies, whether it's a small business, a restaurant, all the way up to a large corporate and multinational?
What I would like to see is that organizations, be it small or large, create a safe space for people to speak up, and not that they don't try and find the messenger. They rather listen, put the messenger out of it and focus on the message that you receive by a whistleblower or by a person who decided to speak up. We can use many names for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also different channels, because what we see in organizations, some of them will have these whistleblowing policies and they say, right, firstly, you must report to your manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but maybe the manager is the problem. you know, and so they give a hierarchy, but you don't need that. They must have different channels, and they must be able to blow the whistle anonymously. And in smaller businesses, and I know in family-run businesses, it's a huge problem. It's difficult to do.
I think,
because then you're basically snitching on your family.
Yes. And I think ultimately the head of the business should be the one driving the culture with a profound understanding it's only going to benefit the business and the culture. If you had one message for those who run their companies, whether it's a small family business, a large family business, or a multinational, what advice would that be, given your experience and what you've seen?
Listen to what your people are saying, provide them the opportunity to say what they want to say, and give them that safe space and the assurance that they will not be victimized or retaliated against.
So they're taking such a huge risk, Doc, that we really should be standing up for them as the business owner. I'm sure it's much simpler to lodge an HR complaint against someone for a comment or you know, a statement, than it is to blow the whistle, which would have a far more dire or profound effect on the company in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes the leaders of or companies, they don't want to hear the bad news. They believe that everything is just hunky-dory. And it's a lovely company, and everyone is extremely happy, and that there isn't any fraud or corruption because we have these values that we live for, and so on. But meanwhile, as I say, back at the ranch, things are happening, and so they don't want to believe. But my message again would be to them is believe what they say. Now, yeah, maybe some reports are malicious, and that can be sifted out. No, but where there's smoke, there's fire. Very often, take note of that.
Note of the fire. That's absolutely fantastic advice. Dr. Liesel Groenewald, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing this, because it is a responsibility to step forward and share where you see misconduct, but it's a greater responsibility to protect those who do so and who have the courage to do so. Doc, thank you for your time and for joining us.
Thank you.